Jets played preseason game number two last night. Giants play preseason game number two tomorrow night. To talk about the preseason, we bring in Mark Canizzaro from the New York Post. Hey, Mark, how are you? Mark, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me, Lori?
Now I can hear you. Beautiful. Perfect. So let's, you know what, these days, one of the big stories around here is certainly the Jets quarterback situation. So after what you saw last night, where does that leave us with the Jets quarterback situation?
Well, you know, I was in Detroit last night, Lori, and it just, I mean, you watch Christian Hackenberg operate, and I mean, he completed two passes out of six in an entire first half, and he had no help around him. But even at the same time, it's hard to give him a complete pass either. It's difficult to imagine him being ready to be a starter in week one, or any week for that matter, the way he looked last night. And again, the people around, the offensive line was awful. Everybody around him was bad. The receivers didn't get open. But he just did not look like an NFL quarterback last night. And I think last night, just to me, proved that he's nowhere near ready to start. And frankly, Josh McCown, who didn't play last night, who's a veteran, you know, won the job by default last night by just sitting on the bench.
Yeah. So what happened week to week? I understand that he did not play against the starters last week. You know, that he was playing against backups. But I was pleasantly surprised last week. I thought he looked competent. You know, maybe not ready to set the world on fire. I understand that they were, that it was a lot of quick throws. It was an easy, you know, they simplified the playbook, all that sort of stuff. But what happened? How did we go from being what looked like okay a week ago, competent, to atrocious yesterday?
Well, I mean, that's a question I'm not sure I have a clear answer for, to be honest with you, because, you know, the people I've talked to said he's, you know, in the Jet organization, and I, you know, I mean, I watch practice, but I'm not any kind of an expert, but I'm told that he's, you know, he's made dramatic improvements from last year in terms of his footwork and his accuracy in practice and whatnot from a year ago. Yes, last week against Tennessee, you know, a lot of little dinks and dunks, and, you know, he was kind of criticized for that a little bit. I was actually encouraged to see him try to go deep to Robbie Anderson in the first half yesterday. Kind of overthrew him and let him too much out of bounds. But, you know, he really didn't have much time. The offensive line did not give him a lot of time. I mean, it, obviously, to me, the tone was set in the first series when he was, you know,
just rocked.
Jammed to the ground by Cornelius Washington, unblocked. And I think, frankly, that was a mistake on his part in terms of recognizing the
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, what I was going to ask you is, when somebody is unblocked like that, isn't that, you know, obviously some of that's on the center, some of that's the center, some of that's the quarterback, but somebody's got to, you know, make that call for pass protection. And, you know, I think a lot of times we take that for granted when we see it competently done. But is that something also where the Jets, not only do they have this quarterback situation in flux, but they're used to having a veteran center around, and now they don't have that either?
I don't know that I would put that on a center, and nobody really would come clean and say what took place. But I think what's most likely to take place in that situation was he just did not recognize, you know, he didn't make a proper call at the line in terms of the protection, because it was clearly, when we see a sack like that, we automatically say, oh my God, who missed the block, or was Bilal Powell who was supposed to be there? Bilal Powell is a pretty competent blocker out of the backfield. That's probably one of the better things he does. And he was releasing into a route there. So there was a miscommunication there somewhere along the line. And it seemed to me, although nobody really came clean last night, that it was Hackenberg's doing. But, you know, we're easily to knee-jerk react and say, oh, the offensive line, somebody blew an assignment there, which is possible. But it's more than likely that Hackenberg just didn't recognize that look and didn't have somebody over there in that spot.
So now the Jets are in a tough situation. Bryce Petty actually looked okay yesterday. And should Bryce Petty be considered now in this quarterback mix?
Well, Bryce Petty, Lori, is he has, you know, Brian Costello, our Jet beat writer, and I were talking last night as we were watching him operate. And again, it's, you know, it's against third stringers, which he's done before. So it's always hard to measure completely. But Bryce does have a little bit of the it factor. He has a little something, a little spark there. You know, obviously he's a little more experienced, obviously, than Hackenberg in fairness, but he does, he just has a little something there, a little moxie that you like. I don't think he's starting quarterback material. Frankly, I think the Jets have always viewed him as a backup option since they drafted him. But, you know, I mean, the bottom line is Josh McCown's going to be the starter. Josh McCown needs to play, you know, a strong three quarters, you know, against the Giants on Saturday night, which is the Jets' third preseason game, which obviously is the one that simulates the regular season most. At this point, it's time for, you know, Todd Bowles to stop the charade and let's just get on with it and get his starting quarterback ready for week one, and that's going to be Josh McCown.
Talking to Mark Canisero from The Post, and if you're the Jets, though, how do you balance this notion that on some level you're almost better off with a 2-14 record than a 4-12 record, and you know, and it's like, are you better off seeing truly what you have in a Hackenberg and even just letting him take his licks and see if he can be something, as opposed to having a McCown in there? Or how do you balance that the rest of the roster is not going to develop, you know, unless you have McCown in there? What do you do?
Well, I'm a believer in playing Hackenberg without question, because they have to find out about him one way or the other this year. But that doesn't mean he has to be the starter in week one. I think what you need to do is I kind of made a reference, you know, not trying to be disparaging to Hackenberg or petty, but I made a reference in a column I wrote the other day that the Jets need an adult running the quarterback's room right now, and that's Josh McCown, who's a classy, you know, very helpful, almost coach-like veteran.
Yep.
You know, they need some semblance of order back there as they start the season, and I think that needs to begin Saturday night against the Giants. And again, I mean, we're not trying to deify Josh McCown. I mean, his record is, you know, is horrific the last few years that he's played. I think he's like 2-20 in the last 22 games or something. But they just, you know, the formula all along, unless Hackenberg was really, you know, wowing people this summer, was always going to be Josh McCown starting the season and eventually Hackenberg getting in there maybe a month in, 3 weeks in, whatever it may be. You know, 1-4, 1-3, whatever the Jets will be at that point. You know, then you get him in there. Then he's had a little more time to look at, you know, to get some experience. Maybe they work him in. But, you know, yes, the only productive value to this season in terms of the quarterback situation is to find out if Hackenberg can play or not. Because obviously the Jets are gunning for that, you know, first, second, or third round draft pick next year to pick up one of these quarterbacks. You know, whether it's Darnold and USC or the other two guys that are, you know, that are highly rated.
The Joshes.
The Joshes. So yes, I mean, you got to find about Hackenberg. I mean, that's the bottom line. But I don't think that needs to start in week one, I guess, is my point.
All right. So switching to the other football team in town, the Giants, who obviously have a lot different expectations and their fans for this season. And normally with a preseason game, you say at this point it's really about not being injured, and that's got to be the Giants' biggest goal for the preseason, be healthy. But besides that, if memory serves me, last year's preseason, the Giants' offense really struggled. I remember that I don't even know if they scored a touchdown, or if they did, it was like towards the end, the fourth preseason game or something like that. And I remember thinking, you know, we all at the time said, well, the offense looks like, you know, looks awful, but it is just preseason. But it turned out to be actually foreshadowing of what was to come, which was an underperforming offense all season long, an offense that struggled. So what do you, you know, if you're the Giants, you're Ben McAdoo, what do you need to see out of this Giants offense after last season in the preseason? What are you looking to do?
Lori, I look at the five guys on the offensive line, honestly, and starting with number 74, Eric Flowers, their left tackle, who is, you know, very much under the spotlight. He had he scuffled last year, a lot of heat on whether, you know, on the Giants, whether they should continue to start him or pull the plug. The offensive line, honestly, is going to be the fire starter for these guys this year. I mean, if Eli doesn't have time, then it's not going to matter where Odell Beckham Jr. and Brandon Marshall and Sterling Shepard are and how quickly they can get open. So I think, to me, the Giants' biggest goal this year, the biggest thing I'm looking for if I'm a Giants fan, is to see how the offensive line operates early, when it's getting the running game going. I mean, you know, they got kind of an unproven running game, obviously, and the running game's always been a problem for them, you know, in the last number of years. You know, now Paul Perkins, it's his ball right now. So, you know, how's that operation going to look? I mean, we kind of know what Eli Manning, we know what Eli Manning is. The other thing to look for, honestly, is the backup quarterback situation. Geno has looked a lot better than Josh Johnson. And, he's a guy that started a lot of games. I know, you know, last week he just looked like a much more competent quarterback. I know Jet fans are probably rolling their eyes at that, but, you know, Geno does have some, you know, proper NFL characteristics. I mean, in terms of his physical ability. And so I think he can really separate himself this week because this will be a big week for him. Because you got to figure next week, you know, Eli and the starters will play, you know, certainly into the third quarter as usual. And I think those are the biggest things. And it's about the running game and the offense and just trying to get some sort of flow. Like you said last year, everybody was pushing panic buttons in the preseason, and you know the Giants' offense struggled for quite a bit last year. So until it finally got things going. So yeah, I think those are the things I'd look for. I mean, you know what Brandon Marshall is. You know what Odell is. It'll be kind of fun to watch how Brandon is integrated into the offense, but we're not going to see much in preseason that way. To me, it's all about the offense. It's all about the offensive line more specifically, and if we're really looking at it, it's about the left tackle.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see in terms of Jerry Reese, who in so many ways put together what looks like a Super Bowl contending roster with this glaring weakness at the tackle position that may ultimately, you know, not just time for Eli, but you're right, in terms of if they don't have a running game, then that's, you know, again, going to be a big issue with Eli not having, they become one-dimensional and too predictable, and then the tackles end up looking like blocking dummies on the way back to the quarterback. And
they did bring in DJ Fluker, you know, who was a high draft pick. You know, that's a little bit of a safety net in terms of a veteran. You know, right now he's backing up, but, that's a guy to keep an eye out for, you know, in case they do struggle this, you know, as the preseason continues.
Yeah, what's interesting is they've been using him more as a backup guard and really didn't do much at the tackle position. Before I let you go, Mark, also just wanted your perspective real quick on what are we seeing just from, you know, it was last season in many ways, the Colin Kaepernick issue, you know, not issue, but his protest, and then now he's not on a roster. And now we're seeing more players, whether it's Michael Bennett, an important part of the Seahawks, that we're seeing some of these protests by players. Where, you know, what kind of an issue or how much of an issue do you expect this, or focal point do you expect this to be? Or at this point, has it been more normalized based on what Kaepernick did last year and more mainstream, and you think less of an issue this season?
Lori, I think it's a little more normalized. You know, I mean, it's funny. We had a keen eye, you know, during the national anthem in Detroit last night to see, you know, if anybody was going to kneel or sit. Nobody did. You know, I liked some of the things that I saw. You know, Chris Long this past weekend. Mm-hmm. I liked some of those things. You know, I'm a pretty liberal person. I think if somebody wants to sit, they should sit. You know, and I think the fact that Kaepernick is not employed right now is a travesty. I mean, I know the guy's got his issues in terms of how good of a quarterback he still is, but you can't tell me that guy's not better than 32 backups. I mean, that's absurd to me. Part of the issue there too is potentially his unrealistic view of what he's, you know, what he's worth money wise too. So that's, you know, that should be stated as well. But that guy should have a job someplace.
Yeah, somehow, I don't know, Ryan Mallett having a job with the Ravens and not Kaepernick, I find that one I find stunning. You can't convince me that you wouldn't have a better chance to win with Kaepernick behind center, especially with all of the back issues, injury stuff going on right now with Joe Flacco.
I completely agree with that, and I don't understand, you know, a lot of what's going on in the NFL with, in terms of that. And again, I preface that by saying, you know, to date, and we haven't really heard from Kaepernick because he hasn't spoken out at all. But you know, when we last did hear from him and his people, you know, he was looking for starter money, and you know, I think that's what, you know, drove Seattle away from bringing him in. So, you know, that's unrealistic at this point. This guy just needs to get in and reprove himself if anybody's going to give him a chance. but he certainly has physical skills that are enticing.
Yeah, and the touchdown to interception ratio last season, very, very good. I think it was something like 16-4 or something like that. Anyway, Mark Canasero from The Post, appreciate the time, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you during the season.
Absolutely, Lori. Thanks. Have a great night.